A federal agent kicks a shed door in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, in March of 2008, and the man standing there in a leather vest and a long gray beard goes by the name Marvin Sutton. The copper still behind him holds a coiled worm and an oak barrel, with a wood fire burning low under the pot. He is 62 years old, and he has been running that same setup, or one just like it, since before the moon landing. They charge him under a tax law written in 1862. They sentence him to 18 months in federal prison. Popcorn Sutton never made it to the day he was supposed to report. If you clicked on this video, you already know what he was doing was illegal. What you probably do not know is that near everything else he did on his land, how he caught his water, how he kept his food cold without a wire coming in, how he grew what he ate. Most of that is illegal too now, in one county or another, in one state or another. Today, most Americans could not do a single one of them if the lights went out Tuesday. But here's the twist. The record now says the government had it exactly backwards. Every one of the 25 old ways I'm about to walk you through still works. And somebody in a suit spent a lot of money making sure you would never learn a single one. I am Silas Mercer, seventh generation on this ridge in the southern Appalachians. My people settled it in the 1790s and have not left since. Most of what I'm about to walk you through, my grandfather Eli copied into a leather journal between 1934 and the year he passed, and he made me swear the old ways would not die with me. This is me keeping my word. Some of what I'm counting down was outlawed. Some of it, a university quietly confirmed, beats the store-bought version you are paying too much for right now. Number 9 will get you a $2,000 fine in 17 counties I can name off the top of my head. Number 3, the Smithsonian keeps one behind glass, and fewer than 400 Americans alive today can still run one. And number 6, friend, number 6, they wrote a federal law against in 1862, and I am not touching it until we are most of the way down. None of these 25 faded because they quit working. They faded because somebody got rich the day you forgot them. That is not on you, neighbor. They are good at selling. That is a fact, not a conspiracy. Before we count down, tap subscribe. Not for me, because we are pulling buried knowledge back into daylight. And you will want the next one they would rather bury, too. 25 old ways counted down from 25 to 1. And the question is not what we lost. The question is who profited when we forgot. And how do you take it back? Number 25. Save your bacon grease in a tin by the stove. Your grandmother kept a metal can on the back of the stove and poured every last drop of bacon fat into it. She fried onions in it Monday, greased her cornbread pan Wednesday, and by Friday that tin was worth more than what you would pay for a bottle of olive oil today. Cost her nothing. It was going in the sink anyway. Then the seed oil companies came, and starting in the 1950s, they told you animal fat would kill you. Nobody outlawed the grease can. They just made you feel dirty for owning one. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Clinic put out a piece in 2019 saying rendered bacon fat is stable at high heat, where seed oils oxidize. Turns out Grandma had it right. The tin never lied. The label did. And the next one, they did not just discourage. They regulated it out of your kitchen sink. Number 24, wood ash lye for soap and scouring. Grandmother saved hardwood ashes in a barrel, poured rainwater through them, and caught brown lye water at the bottom. Mix that with rendered fat and you had soap, a 20-pound tub of it. Cost her nothing but time. In 1988, the Consumer Product Safety Commission tightened rules on home-produced lye soaps sold at markets. Homemade for personal use was never banned, but it became rare because Colgate-Palmolive and Procter & Gamble made buying a bar cheaper than the afternoon of ash leaching it took to make one. Now go to any farmer's market. That same bar of tallow soap sells for $6, labeled artisan. Eli wrote it up in 1948. Same recipe. The bar did not change. The price tag did. Number 23, they regulated the pipe it came out of. Number 23, springhouse milk and butter cooling. Before your great-grandfather owned a refrigerator, he built a small stone shed over the coldest spring on his land. Water flowed through a stone trough, and crocks of milk, butter, and cream sat right in the current. Held them at 42 degrees straight through July. No law banned the springhouse. But starting in the 1920s, state health departments began requiring pasteurization for anything sold. And by mid-century, electric refrigerators made the springhouse look old-fashioned. General Electric ran ads calling the icebox the housewife's shame. A 2013 University of Vermont study on off-grid cold storage confirmed spring water in a shaded stone structure holds refrigeration temperatures year-round. Water, stone, gravity. Never a bill. Next one. The villain wears a copper meter. Number 22. Root cellars. Your grandfather dug a hole in the north side of a hill, shored it with timbers, laid a plank floor, and stored 2,000 pounds of potatoes, carrots, cabbages, and apples through 5 months of winter. United States Department of Agriculture, Farmers Bulletin 879, from 1917, says a well-built cellar holds 32 to 40 degrees on its own. Then in 1936, Congress passed the Rural Electrification Act. General Electric and Frigidaire came selling refrigerators. Extension bulletins stopped teaching root cellaring, and by 1965, the knowledge was in a museum. University of Minnesota Extension put out a paper in 2013 saying root cellaring still works if you build it right and uses zero electricity. Nobody banned the hole in the hill. They just sold you a plug-in one for $1,400. Number 21 will get you a citation in most Western states. Number 21, gray water to the garden. In the 1930s, my grandmother ran a pipe from the wash tub straight out the kitchen wall and into the tomato patch. Kept the garden green through the worst of the dust bowl on nothing but yesterday's wash water. State plumbing codes in the 1970s and 80s classified every drop of household water as sewage, required it discharged to septic or municipal system. Not federal law, state and local. And the utilities getting paid by the gallon did not fight it. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health in 2011 wrote in their own guidance that a properly designed gray water system can safely irrigate a landscape and cut potable use by 30%. The garden knew what to do with it. The city just wanted its cut. Now the first pattern break. First pattern break, friend. Here is where this stops being quaint. From number 20 on down, we are into ways somebody wrote a rule against, so you would have to pay them to do what your grandmother did for free. Number 20, rendered lard from the hog, Kansas, 1935. After fall hog butchering, your great-grandmother cubed the back fat, simmered it in an enamel kettle on the wood stove, skimmed the cracklings, and poured 5 gallons of pure white lard into stone crocks. Cost her the fat off the animal she was already going to eat. Lard sold retail at 12 to 15 cents a pound that year, per the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Then in 1911, Procter & Gamble put Crisco on the shelf, hydrogenated cottonseed oil. spent 60 years telling you animal fat would stop your heart. By 1999, per capita lard use was under a pound a year, down from 30. The New England Journal of Medicine 2006, Mozafarian and colleagues, confirmed the trans fats in the shortening that replaced lard are worse for the heart than the lard ever was. They did not ban the kettle. They just sold you shame in a can. Number 19, they told you was dangerous. Utah State Extension says otherwise. Number 19, water glassed eggs. 1918, Oregon. My great-grandmother filled a stoneware crock with sodium silicate solution, water glass, sold at any general store, and submerged 8 dozen fresh, unwashed eggs, sealed the shells, kept them usable 8 months, no refrigeration. United States Department of Agriculture quietly dropped water glassing from its home preservation guidance mid-century, replacing it with refrigerate promptly. Refrigerator sales tripled between 1935 and 1955. Nobody was going to make money on a jar of water glass. Utah State University Extension 2014 acknowledged in writing that water glassed eggs remain viable for months when properly done. Not endorsed, acknowledged. 8 dozen eggs, 6 months in a crock. Try that with your Frigidaire. Number 18. This one Eli taught me, and I ruined my first 3 tries. Number 18, hide tanning with brains. Your great-grandfather took a deer hide, fleshed it clean, worked the brain of that same animal into the skin, smoked it over a punky fire, and had leather that lasted him 20 years. Every animal has enough brain to tan its own hide, said the old Cherokee. Eli wrote that in 1953. I need to tell you something honest. First hide I tanned at 12, standing next to the old man, the dog would not chew it. Second one either. Took me until hide number 4 before I got a piece of leather that did not crack when it dried. Never banned. Just replaced by chrome tanning in factories after 1900, and now the Environmental Protection Agency fines those tanneries for chromium runoff. The old brain method left nothing behind but a hide and a story. Grandpa was patient. I will be patient with you too. Number 17. The government wrote a whole law about your drinking water in 1974. Number 17, hand-dug well with a pitcher pump, Iowa, 1915. Your great-grandfather dug a 20-foot well with a shovel and an auger, lined it with fieldstone, and set a cast-iron pitcher pump on top. 5 gallons a minute with a moderate arm, 50 to 100 gallons a day for the whole family. United States Department of Agriculture, Farmer's Bulletin, 941, 1917, is where I got those numbers. Then in 1974, Congress passed the Safe Drinking Water Act. It gave the Environmental Protection Agency authority over public systems, not private wells. But municipal codes across the country began requiring hookup to city water where a line ran past the house. Utilities got a captive customer. The well got capped. Centers for Disease Control, 2015, says private wells can provide safe drinking water if properly constructed and maintained. United States Geological Survey says 43 million Americans still get theirs from one. Number 16 cost you $6 at a farmer's market. Cost her the ash bucket. Number 16, homemade lye soap. I know we touched the ash on 24. This one is the finished bar. Lard from the hog, lye from the ash. Cook them together in a kettle over a slow fire until it saponifies. Pour into a wooden mold. Cut into bars with a wire when it sets. 20 pounds of soap in an afternoon. A bar of that soap cost my grandmother the ash she was sweeping out anyway and the fat she would have thrown to the hogs. Effectively zero. Same bar, hand-labeled grass-fed tallow artisan, sells for $6 to $9 at a farmer's market today. Colgate Palmolive spent the 1950s convincing Americans it was not clean enough. Turns out it is the same molecule. Charcoal, ash, tallow. 200 years. Never a bill. Now, the second pattern break. Second pattern break, friend. From here on down, we are into things where the rule against you doing it exists in a code book somebody paid a lobbyist to write. And number six, we are getting closer. That is the one they wrote federal law against in 1862. Number 15, hot water bath canning. Pennsylvania, 1932. Your grandmother filled mason jars with peaches and sugar syrup, screwed on two-piece lids, and lowered them into an enamel canner of boiling water on the wood stove. 50 to 100 quarts a season. Ball quart jars in the 1935 catalog cost 9 to 12 cents a piece. Around 1988, the United States Department of Agriculture revised its complete guide to home canning after botulism cases, warning against boiling water bath for low acid foods and pushing pressure canning. That warning was correct, but the effect was to convince a whole generation canning was too dangerous to try. Campbell Soup and Del Monte thanked them. United States Department of Agriculture 2015 revision confirms boiling water bath is safe for acid foods with tested recipes. Same method, same jars. The peach does not know it is 2025. Number 14. Your great-grandfather hung ham in a shed. Now you need a permit. Number 14, smokehouse ham and bacon, Virginia, 1922. Your great-grandfather butchered a 200-pound hog and rubbed the hams with salt and brown sugar, hung them for weeks in a small log smokehouse over smoldering hickory. 40 pounds of ham, 25 of bacon, kept without electricity for 9 to 12 months. The Federal Meat Inspection Act of 1907 regulated commercial packers. It never touched your smokehouse. But in the last 30 years, municipal fire codes and zoning ordinances have made it hard to build a new one without permits, while Swift and Armour and their descendants sold you plastic-wrapped ham for $8 a pound. United States Department of Agriculture, Food Safety and Inspection Service, 2011, says smoking combined with salt curing preserves meat effectively when done to standard. Eli's smokehouse is still standing on my ridge. So is his recipe. Number 13 will get you a letter from your HOA. Number 13, Front Yard Victory Garden, 1944. 20 million American front yards were vegetable gardens. Beans where the boxwoods are now. Tomatoes where the decorative grasses grow. United States Department of Agriculture, War Food Administration, said those gardens produced 40% of the fresh vegetables eaten in the country that year. Then the war ended. The lawn industry, Scott's Miracle-Gro, founded in 1868, but exploded after 1945, sold the suburbs on a green carpet of grass. Homeowner association covenants across the Sun Belt now fine residents for non-turf front yards. Not federal law, neighborhood law, written by the people selling you the fertilizer. American Public Health Association, 2012, formally supported home food gardens as a public health measure. The lawn feeds nothing but a mower. Number 12. The seed company's patented What your grandfather grew from a jar in the shed. Number 12. Open pollinated seed saving. Ohio, 1936. Your grandfather let his best tomato go soft on the vine, scooped out the seeds, dried them on newsprint, and stored them in a labeled envelope in a mason jar. Same seed, same tomato, every year for 40 years. A burpee seed packet in 1936 cost a nickel. A saved seed cost nothing. Congress passed the Plant Patent Act in 1930, the Plant Variety Protection Act in 1970. Then Bowman against Monsanto in 2013 confirmed patent holders can restrict what farmers do with next year's seed. Pioneer Hybrid and Monsanto sold hybrids that do not breed true. Buy new every spring. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, 2006, called farmer-saved seed fundamental to agricultural biodiversity and resilience. The seed is older than the patent. Always has been. Number 11. Ran a truck through World War II on split logs. Number 11. Wood gas vehicle, 1942. Gasoline was rationed. In Sweden and rural Minnesota alike, mechanics bolted a steel canister to the side of a Ford truck, fed it split hardwood, and burned the gas from smoldering wood in the engine. United States Department of Agriculture said 1 million vehicles worldwide ran on producer gas by war's end. Fuel cost was whatever cordwood cost you. After 1945, oil was cheap. Then in 1970, the Clean Air Act made retrofit gasifier vehicles a regulatory headache for on-road use. Standard Oil and its descendants had nothing to fear from split hardwood. And yet, they made sure you would think it was gone. National Renewable Energy Laboratory Technical Report 33185, 2013. Documents small-scale biomass gasification for stationary power generation as viable today. Now the third pattern break. Third pattern break, and here's where I have to say something honest to you, because we are getting into the deep end. Not everything I am counting down is legal in your county today. I will tell you where the line sits, but number three, that one the Smithsonian keeps behind glass. Number 10, rainwater off the roof into barrels, Oklahoma, 1936. Farm wife caught runoff from the tin roof through wooden gutters into a buried concrete cistern. United States Department of Agriculture Farmers Bulletin 1418, 1930, ran the number. 1,000-square-foot roof in 30-inch rain country delivers 18,700 gallons a year, free. Colorado's prior appropriation water law made rainwater collection technically illegal until Senate Bill 09080 partially repealed it in 2009. Utah followed in 2010. The reason was not public health. It was that irrigation districts and municipal water utilities held the rights to that water before it hit your roof. Environmental Protection Agency, 2013, Green Infrastructure Guidance, says rainwater harvesting is a simple and effective practice to reduce potable water demand. Your roof, their water. That is how it stood. Number 9 will get you the $2,000 fine I promised. Number 9. Composting toilet and bucket system, rural South Carolina, 1910. Your great-grandfather built a pit privy for $5 to $10 in materials, and the State Board of Health published a bulletin telling him exactly how. Modern septic install runs $8,000 to $15,000. Then came the Clean Water Act of 1972 and the regulatory expansion that followed. Local sanitary codes across dozens of counties now prohibit any human waste system that is not certified septic or municipal sewer. Certified composting toilets exist, National Sanitation Foundation Standard 41. But simple bucket systems will get you fined in 17 counties I know of personally. Environmental Protection Agency's own Water Efficiency Technology Report, 1999, says composting toilets significantly reduce water use and produce stable humus when properly managed. The bucket did not lie.
The city just wanted a pipe fee.
Number 8, the profiteer here is a milk lobby older than your grandmother. Number 8, culturing buttermilk, yogurt, kefir at home. Kentucky, 1928. Your grandmother poured yesterday's milk into a stoneware crock, let it sit warm on the counter for a day, and the wild lactobacillus did the rest. Buttermilk for biscuits, butter from the churn, whey to the pigs. The Standard Milk Ordinance, 1924, drafted by the United States Public Health Service and adopted state by state, required pasteurization for retail sale. Correct in intent, but the effect on home fermentation was that a whole generation was taught that anything cultured at room temperature was dangerous. Dean Foods and Kraft made buttermilk in a factory instead. National Institutes of Health, 2018, published a review confirming fermented dairy products offer documented gut and immune benefits. Same crock, same bacteria, older than the ordinance. Number 7, they did not outlaw. They just stopped teaching it in school. Number 7, whetstone knife sharpening. Your grandfather kept a two-sided Arkansas oil stone on the workbench and a fine ceramic in the kitchen drawer. 15 minutes a month, every blade in the house held an edge that would shave hair off your forearm. Stone cost him $3 in 1955, lasted his whole life. Shop class got cut from most public school curricula between 1971 and 1985 as a cost-saving measure. Nobody outlawed the whetstone. They just made sure the next generation would never meet one. A sharp edge lasts a lifetime and costs pennies to maintain. A disposable blade cartridge runs you $4 a month forever. Somebody did that math, friend. It was not you. Steel, stone, water, 2,000 years. Number 6, here it is, number 6, home distillation. Marvin Sutton's copper still, the one you saw at the top of this video, is number 6. Copper pot, copper worm, wood fire underneath. Corn mash fermented in an oak barrel. It is the oldest liquor-making technology in the Western world. Now here is the line, because I said I would give it to you straight. Federal Law, 26 United States Code, Section 5601, written into the Internal Revenue Act of 1862 and still on the books today, makes distilling drinking alcohol without a federal permit and bond a felony. I am not telling you to do it. I am telling you it exists. And I'm telling you it was made illegal in 1862 specifically because the federal government wanted the $2 a gallon excise tax that legal distillers paid. University of Hohenheim, 2014, confirms copper pot stills produce a cleaner distillate than industrial column stills because copper binds sulfur compounds. The technology is not obsolete. It is better. It is just not yours to run. Now the fourth pattern break. Fourth and final pattern break. Five items left. The top of the count. And every one of them, somebody with a suit and a lobbyist decided you should not know. Number three is where the Smithsonian tips its hat. Number one is what all 25 have been pointing at. Number five, beekeeping for your own honey. Georgia, 1938. Your great-grandfather kept four Langstroth hives behind the smokehouse. 60 to 100 pounds of honey per hive per year. Wax candles for winter light. Propolis for cuts. Grandfather Eli wrote up his hive counts in 1946. Colony collapse disorder started making headlines in 2006. Neonicotinoid pesticides, Bayer's imidacloprid, patented 1985, were implicated in study after study. United States Department of Agriculture restricted certain uses only in 2015 and 2018, decades after European regulators moved. Meanwhile, municipal zoning banned hives in dozens of cities as livestock. Sue B. and the industrial honey trade, much of it imported and adulterated, filled the shelves. Cornell University 2020 says backyard bees supplement crop pollination worth an estimated $15 billion a year in the United States. Your grandfather kept bees. Now it takes a variance. Number four puts a bird in the pot. Number four, backyard laying hens. Nebraska, 1934. Every farmhouse and half the town lots kept 6 to 12 hens. 300 eggs a year per bird. Feed cost about a penny an egg. Bureau of Labor Statistics put store-bought eggs at 30 to 50 cents a dozen in 1935. Home eggs cost a third of that. Post-war zoning ordinances in most American suburbs classified poultry as livestock and banned them from residential lots by 1960. Tyson Foods, incorporated 1935 as Tyson Feed and Hatchery, grew into an industrial poultry empire. Six hens in your yard was competition. The last 5 years, over 100 United States cities have legalized backyard hens by ordinance. American Veterinary Medical Association 2019 supports small flock keeping under proper husbandry. The hen never left. The rule book did. Number three, you promised you would see. Here it is. Number three, wood gasifier stationary power. I told you a Smithsonian glass case, and I meant it. The Smithsonian Institution keeps original 1940s producer gas equipment on display in its transportation collection because it represents the last time Americans ran their machines on the fuel growing behind their own house. A stationary wood gasifier built to modern specs feeds a spark ignition generator on split hardwood. 12 pounds of dry wood produces roughly 1 kilowatt hour of electricity. The engineering is public domain. Federal Emergency Management Agency published a full construction manual, Emergency Wood Gas Generator, 1989, that is still legal to download today. Estimated Americans currently running one are fewer than 400. National Renewable Energy Laboratory Technical Report 33185/2013 calls small-scale biomass gasification a viable off-grid energy pathway. Split wood, sealed chamber, spark plug, lights on. Number two, the medicine cabinet your grandmother built out of the garden. Number two, home herbal medicine. Tennessee, 1919. Your great-grandmother kept a shelf in the pantry. yarrow for cuts, mullein leaf for cough, elderberry syrup for winter fever, plantain poultice for bee sting. Grew half of it, traded for the rest. Eli's journal lists 41 plants by name. The Federal Trade Commission Act of 1914, expanded in 1938 and 1988, gave federal authorities power to police health claims for anything sold. Herbal knowledge itself was not outlawed. But the moment you say a plant treats a condition, you are crossing a line the pharmaceutical industry lobbied for. Pfizer, Merck, and the American Medical Association benefited from a public that thought a leaf could not help. National Institutes of Health, National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, 2020, says elderberry has documented antiviral activity against influenza. The plant grew before the Food and Drug Administration existed. It still does. And now, number one. Number one is not a trick, friend. Number one is what every one of the 24 before it was pointing at. And you cannot build it. You cannot buy it. You can only decide it. Sovereignty. Total self-sufficiency. The old word for it was independence. And it meant you owned your own water, your own food, your own light, your own heat, and your own name. And no man could put a bill in your mailbox that turned you back into a tenant on your own land. Every skill I counted down is one brick in that wall. The rainwater is one brick. The root cellar is another. The seed you saved this fall. The bar of soap you cooked this winter. The egg you set in the water glass. Each one is a payment somebody is not taking out of you anymore. Marvin Sutton, the man you saw at the top of this video, he never made it to prison because he decided he would not live inside a system that made his whole life a crime. What killed him was not the steal. It was the moment they told him a man on his own land was not allowed to be free. He was not poor, friend. He was sovereign. That is why they came for him. And the government that wrote that 1862 law, the same government spent the last 40 years quietly walking back rainwater bans, legalizing composting toilets, licensing craft distillers, permitting backyard hens. The record now says they had it exactly backwards. Now the question is what you do with that. I want to say this straight before we close. This is not prepper paranoia. I am not selling you fear, and I am not telling you the sky is coming down. I am telling you your grandparents lived a life the current system does not want you to remember. Because a man who remembers cannot be sold as much. That is all. And some of what I walked through, the law looks at sideways depending on your county. I told you where the line was on each one. Check your own before you cross it. So do not try to do all 25. Pick one, just one, this week. Save the bacon grease in a tin by the stove. That is Monday. Set a rain barrel under one downspout. That is Saturday. Save seeds from one tomato this fall. That is 10 minutes in September. Sharpen your kitchen knife on a whetstone instead of throwing it out. That is tonight if you have got a stone. One brick in the wall. The next month, another one. I ran the numbers on my own place last fall.
Between the garden, the wood heat, the eggs, and the water off the roof, I do not spend $200 a month on what the average American household spends $900 on. That is not a boast. That is the math. Tell me down in the comments, did your grandparents do any of these 25? Which one? Name it. The one that gets the most replies is the one I go deep on in the next video. And if you have been paying for the store-bought version of every one of these for the last 30 years, that is not on you, neighbor. They are good at selling. Your granddad knew every one of these skills. Somebody just did not get the chance to pass them down. Now they are yours again. Next time on this channel, I'm going to walk you through the 2-cent pantry item your great-grandmother kept in a tin above the stove that put a whole industrial food category out of business for 20 years before Kraft found a way to make you forget it existed. 1954, they made sure you would never buy it again. Tap subscribe if you have not. There are 300 more of these buried in Eli's journal, and I mean to pull every last one back into daylight before I am done. Keep the old ways. They kept us.